Macmillan Audio presents Between a Flock and a Hard Place, a Meg Langslow mystery by Donna Andrews. Read for you by Bernadette Dunn. Monday, May 13th. Chapter 1.
They're at it again.
Gloria Willingham stood on our doorstep, shoulders hunched as if to resist a blow. Her elegant contralto voice throbbed with righteous indignation and a suggestion of barely controlled hysteria. I tried to decide who she was channeling. Lady Macbeth? Hedda Gabler? The Red Queen from Alice in Wonderland? Like my husband, Michael, and for that matter most of their colleagues in Carfilly College's drama department, Gloria tended to reprise her favorite acting roles whenever real life gave her the chance.
"I told you this TV thing was a bad idea," she added, flipping back her mane of shoulder-length braids. "And I agreed with you."
I stepped away from the front door and gestured her inside. And so did the town council, but unfortunately they couldn't think of a way to stop it.
"At least we tried."
Gloria lifted her chin, and her fierce grin suggested that she enjoyed the memory of her dramatic appearance before the council, demanding that they stop her neighbors from having their house redone by one of the many home makeover shows that had spawned to fill whole channels of cable airtime.
"Not even one of the better-known makeover shows," one of the council members had said with a condescending sniff.
But the problem wasn't so much that Marvelous Mansions was a relatively unknown and probably low-budget home makeover show. Any makeover show would have been a disruption to one of the quiet tree-lined streets of downtown Carfilly. And on top of that, it was the Smetkamps' house getting the makeover. The Smetkamps, who seemed to have made a hobby out of annoying their neighbors. A hobby? More like a crusade. But unfortunately, as long as they and Marvelous Mansions filed for the proper building permits and obeyed all the relevant town ordinances, there was nothing the council could do about it.
"Sorry to darken your doorstep at such an ungodly hour," Gloria went on. "But yesterday, when I told Michael how horrible it was, he said I could come and use your library the next time things got too noisy next door. And yes, I could work at my office in the drama building. But this time of year, you can't go 5 minutes, day or night, without students showing up to ask for extensions on papers and breaks on exams and..."
"It's absolutely fine." I was suppressing the urge to chuckle at her calling 8 a.m. an ungodly hour. No wonder I got along so well with Michael's theater colleagues. 8 a.m. absolutely was ungodly to a night owl like me. The daily discipline of getting my twin sons off to school on time did not come naturally, but this far along in the school year, I woke early by force of habit, even on days like today, when school wasn't in session due to teacher workdays. Gloria stooped, picked up a battered copier paper box, and handed it to me. It was heavy, full of books and papers, I suspected. Gloria then slung a laptop over her shoulder and heaved a bulky leather satchel over the other, and followed me across the foyer and then down the long hall to our library.
"I'm not normally a fuss budget," she said. "You know me. But I've got that damned dissertation to finish. If I don't turn it in by the end of the summer, the college might not let me stay."
"I understand," I said. "Sorry I haven't been able to keep them in line, the makeover crew, that is."
"And why is keeping them in line your job anyway?" Gloria asked.
"Because I..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?